Kim, myself, Phil Vacchio, and Jamie Schaefer are here every single weekend talking to you all about estate planning and elder law. The stuff we're trying to avoid talking about, Kim, but it's so unbelievably important. And as we talk about every weekend, if you don't plan, there is a plan for you already.
Unfortunately, this is true.
How you doing, Kim?
I'm okay. A little under the weather, actually. This is the first cold I've had in, dare I say it, like almost 2 years.
Wow. Well, I hope you weren't talking about how you hadn't had a cold for 2 years prior to this, because that would have been...
A little kismet, right? That's karma coming right back at you.
Hey, are you, John, Kim, are you guys Olympics people?
I kind of watch a little bit here and there and, you know, kind of keep track of how we're doing. And as far as total medals are concerned, we're, you know, the USA is way in front.
Are you like, do you get all patriotic and get into it, or is it more it's just going on and you'll tune
on the TV? I'm an occasional viewer.
How about you, Kim?
Yeah, I would say I used to love watching the Olympics, and we got rid of our cable a few years ago, so it's hard to access if you don't have, like, normal TV, you know? So I found this year to be a little frustrating, actually. But normally I like to follow, so I'm following, online.
It's also difficult when the stuff already happened. Like right now, I'm watching what I think is live swimming, but they'll probably show it again tonight, and it will not be live swimming, and I'll know the results, and that's a little off-putting.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, my viewership of people swimming in pools has gone up drastically in the last week and a half here.
You have a greater appreciation for it now?
Well, I always had an appreciation. It's just... Tell me the last time I watched people swimming, and I'll tell you it was the last Olympics. It's just funny how it works.
I get it.
So,
when it's close race, or when you know that somebody's going to beat a record, or that's when it's really cool.
Yeah, and the gymnastics stuff. Holy cow! I think about all the. The lack of push-ups I can do or sit-ups, and these people are on one hand twisting and turning with all their body weight. It's unbelievable.
Yep, it is amazing what the body, what the human body is capable of.
Yeah. So, Kim, I had a fact pattern that was like central casting talking to you on the radio, and it was the continuation of an appointment that I had about a week and a half ago. So, if you don't mind, I'm going to kind of break it down for you, and then I'd kind of like to turn it over to you here and there and get your take on things. So family is in. All the kids are there, okay, four kids. And I originally met with one of them, and it's about dad, okay? Dad and mom did a Medicaid trust long ago. Mom, predeceased dad. Dad has a dementia diagnosis, and dad is at an assisted living facility in the Capital Region that does have a memory care unit, okay? So we know assets are protected because of the length of time that they had this trust in place, the Medicaid Asset Protection Trust. We know that that trust continued even though mom passed. We know that dad is at assisted living, and a lot of our listeners can know that assisted living doesn't necessarily take Medicaid. In fact, we'd say most do not take Medicaid. So when we talk about the fact they did a Medicaid trust, and we talk about the fact that he happens to be in assisted living with memory care, the next piece is they are private paying for that care. And I guess it's a good point to stop for a moment and remind everyone that it's not nursing home or bust. It's not the government's going to pay or bust. This is a world of finding the right solutions based on each little fact that presents itself. And the care is always going to be the most important thing, not the money, but the care. So I'll turn that over to you. I know you can just say yes, but tell me what you think thus far.
Well, obviously the first thing we would want to evaluate is, does he really need memory care, right? Because just because somebody has a dementia diagnosis doesn't necessarily mean that memory care is the thing that's required. Because memory care can be very specific to behaviors. If somebody's wandering, you know, or is constantly looking for that. So that's always the first thing, because a lot of times we do have family members that come in and say that, you know, we want to look at exactly what level of care he's requiring. And the second thing is there are a lot of assisted livings that after a period of time, if you have, you know, a decent income, they may be willing to reduce the monthly fee to the income that can be paid, right? So it's worth having a meeting at least with the powers that be to say, is this an option? Because, you know, we're thinking that maybe we need to make other arrangements. And then it's looking at truly, is there a skilled need for somebody? And with the nursing home, when somebody says higher level of care, you know, nursing home really is, we need somebody that meets the need for skilled care, which is technically under definition, then they need the supervision of an RN, you know, 24 hours a day, as of some need that they have.
Let me stop you there for a moment. So you just hammered home three really, really important things, and I'd like to just peel them piece by piece. So number one, the care. What's the right amount of care? Because oftentimes we're talking about home care being an option, and we always say that just because there's a diagnosis doesn't mean that it's doom and gloom. You know, this is, you know, sometimes you have ailments that are like dimmers, which means the lights don't just go out, but things get dark over time, and you just have to plan for it. So in this situation, all the family members agree that Dad needs to be where he is, and he's been there for a couple years, as it's turned out. And he likes it. He's kind of like a mayor, okay? However, the disease is progressing, and they also realize that they are private paying a large amount of money. They're paying a little more than $9,000 a month for the facility that he's in, and the memory care and this a la carte, and then they add a charge for this and a charge for that. And you know what? He's safe. He's getting the right treatment for now. However, the fact is that money is an option. So the second thing you brought up was, well, maybe if you're private paying, you're in the world of negotiating, right? And the person who lives in the apartment next to you might be paying a different amount of rent than you are. That's the world we live in. So you could always negotiate, and I like where your head's at, because the whole point of the meeting, Kim, was to try to lengthen their money. And in the first meeting I had with them, I had mentioned, look, you're going to come to a point where the care still might be assisted living, but you're going to run out of money. And they just want to make sure we don't get to that point and don't have a plan from there. So, again, I'll turn it over to you, and let's just say that they've negotiated all they can, and they're paying whatever it's going to be. They realize this need's going to increase. And, by the way, we'll talk about in a couple of minutes why home was just not an option for them to begin with. Okay, so we'll just go off of the premise that everything they said is correct. When would you start to advise families that are private paying? What kind of thought process do you have as to when they may want to consider skilled nursing, a different facility where, yes, Medicaid could be an option? When should they start considering that? How far ahead of time?
Well, certainly, you know, while they still have some ability to pay, it's very, particularly now, it's really hard, even from the hospital, to get in to nursing home, even with a rehab need, right? Now, one of the things that we've started using a little bit more are a lot of Medicare plans have dropped the requirement for a 3-day hospitalization for rehab. So in some circumstances, we can use that tool to kind of help get into a nursing home that we may want. And then it may just turn into a long-term care need because, you know what, we didn't rehab the way we thought we were going to. But when we're talking strictly just dollars and cents and you know that the fountain is going to run dry, the yep. sooner you can make a decision about where you'd want your loved one to be and move them into that nursing home while you still have some money to pay. And every nursing home's different. You know, one of our nursing homes locally, they want 2 years before they'll consider somebody. Some of them are 6 months of private right. funds before they want to look. So it's really understanding the facility that you want and then, of course, aligning with a bed. And unfortunately, long-term care male beds are much harder to come by than female beds because there are yeah. many women aging than there are men. So it also boils down to that. So if we know that the pool of money is not infinite, right, and that at some point they're going to outlive the finances, looking sooner rather than later sometimes is better so that you can secure a better, more desirable spot.
I love it. So this is a good time to remind everyone that not every nursing home is the same. And in our world, I'm not going to say that there's good ones or bad ones, but there are good ones and bad ones, Kim. There are some that you've been to, that I've been to, that you look around and you say, if I'm going to be here, then we have to figure out another plan that involves the woods and a long walk and et cetera. And there's other facilities sure. that are really quite good, all things considered, and they're clean, and the staffing is appropriate, and we know staffing is an issue. So what I said to the family was, hey, guys, it's time for you guys to do your due diligence on what kinds of places would be the right fit if and when Dad escalates to that, okay? Just because right now we're private paying and his needs are assisted living doesn't mean that we don't have to be proactive about where do we want to be. Let's see if there's a wait list there. Let's make sure we do a tour there. Let's make sure that they know that we are looking. And, oh, okay. by the way, just because they did a trust doesn't mean that there aren't assets outside of the trust. There happen to be about $210,000 of assets not protected. That's a different story. It's a nice day today. I don't want to get upset talking about why they didn't add that to the trust. That's fine. But we're in a world where I know we're going to be private paying for a little bit of time. We do our little magic to save half of their money, worst case scenario. So we know we kind of, it's like we have a gift card, Kim, and we're going into the store. We know we're going to be having, you know, about 7-8 months, the way the math shakes out, of private paying. So when they do go talk to that facility, they could say, hey, look, I might be private paying for my dad for the 7 months, 8 months here, and that facility might open up their arms and say, well, you know what, a bed just became available. So the research, due diligence, and then knowing what the worst case scenario means, a level of private paying, is super important because now these guys can start to at least plan. Now, I know we got a couple minutes before the break, but I just want to squeeze a couple things in here. So we know we're going to private pay for a period of time if need be, okay? We know that the current facility is working, but we don't know how long it's going to work. And I said to them, well, if he's good, he's good. You're going to do your due diligence. But when we get down to the maybe $50,000, $60,000 level, that's when I want to really start moving here. I want to start preparing that application. I want to start, making sure that the numbers that they said are accurate. And what we actually did is they retained us for a future Medicaid, Kim, for a nursing home. It's not happening tomorrow. But what's going to happen tomorrow, or not, you know, not tomorrow, tomorrow's Sunday, but what's going to happen figuratively tomorrow is we are going to acquire the last 5 years of records for every account that mom and dad had. And we're going to know whether there's good news or bad news there. We're going to have it all queued up, and it'll, you know, cost them a little bit of money, and most of the fee is just going to hang out and wait until we may have to do a Medicaid application for them. But they're going to go into it knowing exactly what is going to happen, all the steps, what factors they should look into. And this is not exact science, but I said to them, when Dad doesn't know where he is anymore, when the benefit of this assisted living goes away because he doesn't know the difference, and you have this very good skilled nursing facility that you have queued up, that's when you do the switch, because the care is the most important. But once the care is kind of the same no matter what, he doesn't know where he is, and the care happens to be the same, the quality happens to be the same, then let's save all the money. We maybe flip the switch a little earlier.
Right. Good plan.
All right, Dave.
I like it.
Ready to break?
I guess so. We'll be right back with the second half of the Herzog Law Firm's Estate and Medicaid Planning Show right after this.
You've been listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm. Join us every week to learn more about protecting the assets you've worked hard for, options available for Medicaid planning, and more. With offices located in Corporate Woods in Albany, Saratoga Springs, and 130 North Front Street in Kingston, our attorneys are here to help you. If you'd like to schedule an appointment to speak with David, Jane Marie, or Phil, please call us during normal business hours Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. To contact us in Albany or Saratoga offices, call 518-465-7581 or our Kingston office at 845-338-6405. Let the Herzog Law Firm help navigate a plan that works for you and your family. Now back to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm.
And good morning. We're back. My name is Dave Kabickin.
Good morning. I'm Kim Hance.
As we were talking in the first half of the show, it was very talk-heavy, Kim, and mainly me, and I feel bad about that. I also feel bad that I did not tell everyone that it's a call-in show, and if they do have a question, they can reach us on air right now at 518-476-5900, and if they say, hey, listen, we got a doozy of a fact pattern, well, then they can come on into any of our three offices in Kingston, Albany, Saratoga Springs, and call us at 518-465-7581. I forgot all that, Kim. I was too busy thinking about the Olympics.
Now we know.
And by the way, the most important part of the Olympics to me, the track and field has just started, which is kind of great. So I can relate to that. Kim, you've been a busy little bee, and I know that there's a lot of fact patterns you've been dealing with more in the home care realm, although you certainly help people with placement and the right fit for whatever their needs are. What are you seeing? What's going on? Tell us.
Yeah, so a lot right now are folks' needs for a very complicated care, which has been very, very interesting, dealing with not just some acute mental needs, and I'm not just speaking of dementia, Alzheimer's, but we've had quite a few with some significant mental health diagnoses, and then coupled with some very complicated medical conditions. So it's been, for me, it's challenging. I like that because it's sort of figuring out a really tough puzzle. But it has posed some different scenarios that we've had to think outside the box a little bit for some folks. But the good news is that two ladies in particular, they've been lifelong friends, and one type 1 diabetic, very brittle. The other one has really been her primary caregiver, but they were producers in New York City for years and years and years. And when the pandemic hit, they came to the country house in Greene County. And we all know Greene County to be very rural. and what was great is the primary caregiver had been diagnosed with metastatic cancer and last year decided not to go forth with treatment. For lots of reasons, as she became sicker, knew that she was going to need to make plans for the person to taking care of. And long story short, what was really great is they had ended up in the hospital, then in nursing home, and it was actually another elder law attorney that reached out to me to help. So I think that's kind of cool too, because what people don't understand, I think, a lot about what I do is that they don't necessarily have to have a legal need, right, to access care, which is really cool. So long story short, we ended up getting them home and got all the services in place, live-in, additional 12-hour care, a nurse to do some wound care, to do some diabetic management, hospice, and our one client, she just passed away yesterday peacefully at home, which is where she wanted to be, and we'll continue on the plan so that the individual she's been caring for is all set. That was the concern with her brittle diabetic needs, that she would never be able to be managed at home, but we have everything squared away that she'll be able to stay there as long as she wants.
You know, Kim, a lot of people will hear what you just said and they'll say, well, geez, Kim really has a watered-down version of what great means, because nothing sounds very great, right? It sounds like a really difficult, awful fact pattern, but guess what? That was going to happen regardless, right? So I can just imagine them saying to you, and I'm sure they did, like, thank you, because we were so stressed out about these moving parts, and I have this diagnosis, and she's got this diagnosis, and I was the caregiver. No, I can't be the caregiver. Meanwhile, I have something that's literally going to kill me, right? And you know, the ability for you, to a lesser degree, the attorney side, because, you know, we just heard more of the logistics of qualification, but the work that you're able to do to de-stress as much as humanly possible, it goes such a long way, because we all know that when we're stressed out, you know, we're not at our best. And if we're stressed out because of our care and our needs and our medical, we're going to be in even worse shape. So kudos to you on putting together a plan. And really the plan was, as much as it sounds like you were talking about hospice and this and that, the plan was really about the moment when friend passes away. That was a real, you know, key moment that we need to make sure everything is, you know, all systems go on autopilot, kind of, because we need that care. We're losing a primary caregiver.
Right. And, you know, in our world that we see all the time, you know, families are coming in because somebody does have a diagnosis, but then we do need to look at the primary caregiver, right? I mean, you and I have another couple, kind of same thing. You know, he came in, his wife has Alzheimer's. We did the planning for her because she has a known diagnosis. But when I went and did a home visit and you know, dug a little deeper and talking to him about future plans, and, you know, their family pool isn't great. And he has a big piece of property that he takes care of every day. And the likelihood of something happening to him is quite, before it happens to her, the probability is pretty high. So while we know she needs care so he can get a break, we also then have to go back to the drawing board and say, okay, we've got primary one that we know has a diagnosis taken care of. So what happens now if that primary caregiver does predecease the person that we've done plans for? And that's something that I really love that we do as well, because, you know, we look at the whole picture and we're really looking at everybody from every angle. And, you know, I think we're pretty good of, you know, poking holes in things to seeing where the leaks are going to happen. And say, we need to kind of plan for this, right? Because we don't want people to end up in a situation where they don't know what to do next or what's going to happen.
You know, the complexity of what you're talking about, Kim, it's kind of like putting it all together for me. I know Phil had some conversations, I think it was maybe last week, with some other attorneys that are in our space, I'd say. They are estate planning attorneys. They do a Medicaid trust, and maybe they'll even do a nursing home Medicaid application. And more of them, they flat out said to Phil, we are not doing community Medicaids. And, you know, the reason why, I can tell you the reason why. I mean, they didn't admit this, but it's because it's really hard. It's technical. It's ongoing. You don't just get them qualified, and then now they're in the nursing home and Medicaid took over. It's, well, the care is going to need to increase, and bad things are going to happen to caregiver. And we got to think about all these different things. And to me, I mean, I know you're, you absolutely agree with me on this part. It is the most rewarding of the fact patterns. The worse the fact pattern, the more rewarding it is for us, because we know infomercial time, we are uniquely qualified to handle it, because we have you, we have Mike and Jess, we have attorneys that are very, we have feelings, we care, truly. It's unfortunate that there are other attorneys that, I'm not saying they don't care, it's just they don't have the wherewithal to be able to pull off everything that goes into a comprehensive home care plan.
Right. Or even like what you said, even when we're looking at a comprehensive placement plan too, you know, there have been many times where we've been going down the road of a home care plan, and then we kind of really start talking about things, and we might backpedal a little bit and say, you know what, placement might be the better option here for lots of reasons, you know, particularly when we've got somebody who may not be accepting of a caregiver in their home, you know, one-on-one, multiple hours of the day, which is what they're going to need. Right. So maybe then placement does become the better option, because, you know, when you're in assisted living, you have your own apartment. And really, the help is only coming in at intervals during the day when you need the help. Or let's talk about, maybe we don't do home care. Maybe let's talk about a day program, you know, where the primary caregiver can be at home doing the things that they need to do, and the other person that requires the care is actually leaving for a portion of the day, and socially engaged. They're getting their needs met. So everybody sort of wins in that scenario. And I know lots of times it's really a hard sell for day programs, but I will tell you, probably 8 out of 10 times that, you know, I meet with somebody and sort of convince them and talk to them about the day program, and they end up going or trying it out, they end up really loving it.
I don't want to call, I mean, my daughter just finished summer camp. I don't want to call it camp, but it's kind of camp. It's kind of nice, right? It's a change of scene. There's people that there's help. And then there's obviously for the caregiver, all that ability to go shopping and do whatever they need to do, because there's a day program now in the mix. I love it.
That's right. You know, and once we get Medicaid on board, it's transportation. It's, you know, it's all of those things. And it could be an aid as well, helping to get that person ready or being there on the receiving end, particularly if we have a working caregiver, you know, that doesn't get home until after 5 or 5:30. An aid can be at the house to get the person, you know, off the transportation, you know, get them set for the evening so that when the primary caregiver gets home, they're not missing work. They're not, you know, they know that the person's home and safe. So there are lots of different tactics that we can employ in the plan that we look at. And I sort of love that piece of it. Is really, it's sort of like the strategy of a chess game. You know, you're looking at the different pieces to see which one fits in the best place.
I hear some music. Is that music, John?
Yeah, I'm afraid so.
Oh, my goodness.
The time has come.
Cool. Have a good weekend, everyone.
Have a great weekend.
Thank you for listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm. For more information on their services, please visit herzoglaw.com. If you would like to speak with one of their attorneys, please contact the Albany office at 518-465-7581 or their Kingston office at 845-338-6405.